Welcome to the South Elkhorn Christian Church Sermon Podcast. We hope you enjoy the weekly messages. For bulletin material, reflection guides, and other resources, visit southelkhorncc.org.
What do you need? I'll be honest, I need a minute. That got me. Thank you, Pastor Holly. What do you need? What do you need? I heard that question asked this week, and my sermon antenna went straight up. Wait, what? I heard my son ask my other son that very question. What do you need? That question is important in our house. Per usual, two brothers got into a bit of an argument, a bit of a disagreement, into a bit of a tiff. There were some hurt feelings, and I heard one of them say, "I'm sorry," and then, "What do you need? What do you need?" That's part of the question that we ask, part of the process of doing repair work in our home, because we know apologies are important, but they're often not enough, because sometimes it takes another step to regain connection and reconciliation, to show positive energy and affection towards one another. What do you need? And the four-year-old had no clue what he needed, besides the toy back. He got that. But then my son said, "Do you want a hug? A fist bump? A high five?" I'm not sure what the four-year-old said, but I love that he offered him some choices, gave him an opportunity to figure out what was comfortable for him. And I love that he asked that question, "What do you need?" My little dad heart was on fire. Good job. Good job. What do you need? I think that is such an incredibly important and beautiful and challenging and fraught and difficult question to ask. And yet I wonder if maybe as Christians, that shouldn't be one of the most important questions that we know and practice asking. What do you need? What do you need? What do you need? As we continue a sermon series we began a few weeks ago, a sermon series that's designed to invite us into deeper connection with God and with one another by going with curiosity instead of correction, by going with compassion instead of judgment, by making space for people to share their stories, and by asking questions about people and what they're going through. There's some questions that perhaps we'd be good to have at our ready disposal, ready to use when we need them. And I think one of them is, what do you need? What do you need? Important for repair work? Better than just an apology is, what do you need? What would help make this better? What can I do? What do you need? And perhaps that question can be used in other circumstances and other situations. In fact, we'll see how circumstances and situations that are in the gospel stories we're about to read may lend themselves to this question. What do you need? Questions that are good to ask others, and I think also questions that are important to ask ourselves. What do I need? Well, let's turn in our Bibles this morning, if you will. We'll start in Job chapter 2, a powerful story. Hear now these words, Job chapter 2, reading verses 11 through 13. "Now when Job's three friends heard of all these troubles that had come upon him, each of them set out from his home. Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite. They met together to go and console and comfort him. When they saw him from a distance, they didn't recognize him. He was afflicted by so much suffering and even physical ailments. And they raised their voices and wept aloud. They tore their robes and threw dust in the air upon their heads. They sat with him on the ground 7 days and seven nights, and no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his suffering was very great." And now from 2 Timothy, hear these words from the author about the life and closing days of Paul. He writes, "Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful in my ministry. I have sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books. And above all, the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me great harm. The Lord will pay him back for his deeds. You also must be aware of him, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of God for the people of God. What do you need? What do you need? I love this story in 2 Timothy, this moment in Paul's life when at the close of his ministry, he, perhaps confined, imprisoned, is preparing for a trial and articulates very clearly his needs. He's feeling alone, betrayed even, abandoned. He has needs for books. He wants to cultivate his imagination, learn and read. He wants parchment to write, perhaps share the message that has brought him such joy and purpose and meaning, the message of God's love and grace for all people in Jesus Christ. He's looking for companionship, even though he's been abandoned. He does this thing where he articulates his needs. How hard is that for you? To articulate your needs. If someone were to ask you, what do you need? Do you know what you need? If you're anything like me, you may not know. It might be hard for you to articulate your needs. I am terrible at articulating my needs. When someone says, what do you need? I say, I need a minute to think about what I need. I think there's some beautiful value and worth to doing the reflective work, whether that's journaling, prayer, meditation, silent time, to give thanks for the many beautiful and wonderful gifts that we have, but also to wonder, what is it that I need? Which I guess presumes that I need something, that I'm not living my life on my own, fully self-sufficient, able to go about my days without need or help from anyone. We all, I think, have needs. And if I'm honest with myself, I have needs, but I am terrible at articulating my needs. I was terrible at articulating my needs as a student in every grade, and especially in college. Those of you who are students, anyone have difficulty asking a question in class? No, just me? Oh, no? Okay, a few more, yeah. I didn't want to feel stupid, didn't want to look stupid, didn't want to ask something that the teacher or the professor said, yeah, we covered that like 5 minutes ago. I didn't want to do anything that would make me look strange or off or weird. I didn't want to ask the wrong thing, and yet I would come to find out that questions are some of the most important things we can do and learn to ask as students, and that most professors, most teachers will tell you, there is not a stupid question. Please ask. If you don't get it, I want to help. What do you need? I also didn't go to office hours. I didn't know that was something that would be important to my education. It is, it was, and I wish I had gone to more office hours. Students, if you're sitting in this room, I wish I had heard this advice, so I'm going to share it now. Go to office hours. Also, don't go to office hours on the last day before your assignment. You're welcome, professors everywhere. Don't send an email at 11 p.m. the night before it's due. Professors want to help, but they also want to sleep. But ask questions, because I discovered from many professors, from many teachers, and even myself when I've had teaching opportunities, I love being able to ask the question, what do you need, and offer help. And yet it's hard, isn't it? To know what it is that we need, to feel comfortable sharing what it is that we need. One of the other reasons that it's hard for me to articulate my needs is because I don't want to put anybody out. I don't want to make it hard for anyone. Or I'm concerned that what I need, someone can't actually help me with. And yet I'm convinced, one of the great challenges that I face, and perhaps all of us face as Christians, as people of faith, is learning to so trust God, to so understand our own limitations, that we can learn how to articulate our needs. What do you need this morning? What do you need? Well, I am convinced that each and every one of us has needs, that our lives are oftentimes driven by our needs. In fact, in the 1940s, a psychologist by the name of Maslow came up with this famous hierarchy, perhaps you've heard of it, the hierarchy of needs. And while it's been picked apart and criticized and reconfigured and thought about in new ways, I think the primary insight that we are driven by certain needs and that they are layers of ever more complex needs, I think gets at something true, gets at something real. So by way of recap, we all have physiological needs. We need shelter. We need food. We need water. We need breath. We all have needs for safety, for feeling free from imminent harm, from having perhaps employment, financial security, resources. We all need a sense of belonging. We all need a sense of love, social needs, family, friends, community, companionship, connection. We have needs for self-esteem, for confidence, for a sense of value and worth in ourselves. We have needs as we go up the pyramid. We have needs to self-actualize, or in another way of saying it, have meaning and purpose, a sense of being a part of something bigger than ourselves. We all have needs, and we may feel those needs in different ways at different seasons of our life. We may feel many of those needs bundled together, but we all are driven by needs. So this question gets at something very human. What do you need? What do you need? As Christians, perhaps we can learn by prayer and reflection how to better articulate our needs. We can enter into community more deeply by learning to articulate our needs. But let's also be honest, sometimes we just don't know what we need, do we? We just need a minute or a nap, some rest, some space. And that's articulating a need too. What do you need? What do you need? As Christians, I think it's important that we ask that of ourselves, trusting that God will meet us in and through, reflecting on and getting real with our needs. As Christians, I think it's also important that we learn to ask that of others, that we learn to turn outward towards our community and ask this important question, what do you need? Because it presumes that maybe we don't always know what it is that someone needs. And yet I also know it can be overwhelming when someone asks you what you need and you don't know. So I've also found it helpful, and you heard my son do this, to offer some suggestions. And so I was reading about one person. Her name is Kate Bowler. She is a writer and a theologian, and she was diagnosed with cancer at age 35. And she went through that very difficult, challenging, exhausting, tiring process. And on the other side of it said, you know, there were some things that were really helpful, things that I think might be helpful for us when we think about turning towards others with the spirit of this question, what do you need? She writes some things I want to share with you this morning. She said, here's some things that if you want to help those who are going through something difficult, here's some things that I found really, really helpful. Translating this question, what do you need, into these kinds of questions. I'd love to bring you a meal this week. Can I email you about it? She reflects, oh, thank goodness. I am starving, but mostly I can never figure out something to tell people that I need, even if I need it. But really, bring me anything, chocolate, a potted plant, a set of weird erasers. I remember the first gift I got that wasn't about cancer, and I was so happy I cried. Send me funny emails filled with YouTube clips to watch during chemotherapy. Do something that suits your talents, but most important, bring me presents. I may not know your dietary restrictions. I may not know if you have food in the refrigerator or not, but I can say I'd love to bring you a meal, and are you interested in it? Can I email you some of my thoughts? Number two, I love this. You are a beautiful person. Unless you are used to speaking in a creepy windowless van kind of voice, comments like these go a long way. Tell your friend something about his or her life that you admire without making it feel like a eulogy. I admire you. You are a beautiful person. Number three, I'm so grateful to hear about how you're doing. Just know that I am on your team. You mean I don't have to give you an update? You asked someone else for all the gory details? Whew, great. Now I get to feel like you are both informed and concerned. So don't gild the lily. What you have said is amazing. Don't screw it up now by being a nosy Nelly. Ask a question about any other aspect of my life. Number four, can I give you a hug? Some of my best moments with people have come with a hug or a hand on the arm. People who are suffering often, not always, feel isolated and want to be touched. Not everyone. And yet hospitals and big institutions in general tend to treat people like cyborgs or throwaways. So ask whether your friends feel up for a hug and give them some sugar. I love this one. Oh, my friend, that sounds so hard. Perhaps the weirdest thing about having something awful happen is the fact that no one wants to hear about it. People tend to want to hear the summary, but they don't usually want to hear it from you and that it was awful. So simmer down and let your friends talk for a bit. Be willing to share the ugliness and the sadness. Life is absurdly hard, and pretending it isn't is exhausting. Oh, my friend, that sounds so hard. No silver linings needed. Just an honest acknowledgement. This is really hard. Number six, and illustrated so beautifully and profoundly and powerfully by Pastor Holly this morning. Silence. The truth is that no one knows what to say. It's awkward. Pain is awkward. Tragedy is awkward. People's weird suffering bodies are awkward. But take the advice of one man who wrote with this policy, show up and shut up. We don't have to have all the right things to say. We don't have to say anything at all. We can be silent and accompany people in their pain. What do you need? Sometimes you don't need any words. You just need someone to be there for you. Someone to pull up a chair and sit. Or in the case of Job, friends who would get on the floor with him, tear their clothing and put dust on their heads as signs of solidarity in his grief and his suffering. What do you need, Job? I don't even know. The story of Job is that he, in a short period of time, in rapid succession, loses his livelihood. He was a wealthy man with livestock and cattle, and they perish and are destroyed and are stolen. He has property and barns that are destroyed. He has children who die, and his body is afflicted with these itchy, terrible sores that consume his whole body. He loses. Perhaps the whole Maslow's pyramid comes crumbling down. What does he need? He's overwhelmed in suffering and grief and loss. He's experienced trauma. And his friends, who would go on to regrettably begin to judge him and try to say something of wise counsel, begin by doing it right. They show up and get on the ground with him in solidarity in his grief and in his pain. And they sit with him, not for 1 minute or 7 minutes, not for one day, but 7 days, a symbol of totality. They are completely present with Job. Perhaps one of the reasons why it's difficult to ask, what do you need, is because we're not always sure we're going to be able to do what the person needs. Perhaps one of the reasons why it's difficult to articulate our needs is because we don't often know what it is that we need. But something happens when we orient ourselves in such a way that we can trust God to show up even when it's awkward and we aren't sure that we have the words. Our presence matters. Our love and affection matter. Sometimes the most powerful thing we can say is, I care about you, and I'm here. One minister was talking about how they were raised by their grandmother. Their mother had died at a very young age, and their grandmother had raised them. And their grandmother, when she died, as you can imagine, this minister was absolutely distraught. Overtaken with grief, the pain of losing a mother at an early age bled over into this grief. And she says she doesn't remember much in the fog and the haze of all the grief that she went through, but she remembers this. She remembers how her mother-in-law, when she learned that death had befallen her, she called her up, and This minister, in her grief and in her distraught condition, didn't answer the phone, let it go to voicemail, and then listened to this voicemail, and what her mother-in-law said was this: "Hi, I heard that your Nana died." She said, "I think I could hear her voice kind of choking up," and there was silence for 10 seconds, 15 seconds, 20 seconds, 25 seconds. It went for a minute. She said, I know she meant so much to you. I love you. And I'm here for you if you ever need to talk." And hung up. Reflecting on that moment, she said, I don't remember much from the fog of grief and loss that I was experiencing, and yet I remember that I love you. And if you need something, I'm here. Job's friends show up for him in love and solidarity to be present with him. And we as church are invited to show up in love and solidarity with one another and be present for each other. To learn how to ask this question, what do you need, of ourselves and of others, but even when we don't have the words to say, showing up is enough. What do you need this morning? Maybe the challenge for you from this message is to better articulate your needs. What do you need? Maybe the challenge for us this morning is to look to the people around us and ask that question of our children, of our parents, of our siblings, of our community, of those who've experienced harm and hurt. What do you need? Perhaps we can make space for people to share their stories of harm and hurt without looking to solve it, fix it, or insert some silver lining. But just let it be. That sounds so incredibly hard. What do you need? What do you need? I think as Christians, one of the reasons why we can and should get good with this question, let it challenge us, let it unsettle us, let it move us outward toward others, is because God knows that indeed we all have needs. And the greatest need of all, to belong to God, to be loved unconditionally as we are, for all that we are, has been met by God in the person of Christ Jesus, who opens Christ's arms to us so that Christ will be with us through everything that we go through, to reassure us and strengthen us so that we might have the confidence to bear the very presence of Christ with and for others in silence, in meals, in prayer, in acceptance and understanding. What do you need? What do you need? What do you need?
Thanks for listening to the message this week. Visit southelkhorncc.org. where you can download reflection and discussion guides to dig deeper into the weekly scripture and message.